Vyšne sa sú na ho. You're on 103. Sarva yoga vinishvitaha.
Sarva yoga vinishvitaha.
Sarva yoga vinishvitaha.
So sarva all, yoga here, you can take yoga. We're going to translate it in different ways according to the commentary, but the first one, sarva yoga vinishvitaha, the one who is free from, devoid of all yogas, all attachments. Remember, yoga comes from the root yuj, to unite. So it can be used, any yoga I have is anything I'm attached to in a broad sense. So all attachments, the one who is free of all attachments. Mm-hmm. Sarva yoga vinishvitaha. So let's look at the free or devoid of, free from or devoid of vinishvitaha. So here, repeat after me, sarva sambandha. Vinirgataha. Sarva yoga vinishvitaha.
Sarva yoga vinishvitaha.
So look at what they did. This is very common, like it's in Shankara's commentaries. He kept sarva. This first one is just giving synonyms to replace what is actually there in the nama. So sarva means all. Sambandha is the word he uses as a synonym for yoga. Sambandha means any type of connection, any type of attachment, any type of sambandha is any type of, you're connected to anything. So sarva sambandha vinirgataha. Vinirgataha means to be free from. So vinirgataha is he's using that as a synonym for vinishvitaha. So you get used to that. Sarva sambandha vinirgataha is synonymous with sarva yoga vinishvitaha. The one who is free of all attachments.
Where does vinishvitaha come from? What is the
well, it would be vi and nis are neither actually.
Right.
Are two upasargas, and then it comes from sri.
Sri. Which means
sri.
Reaction.
Actually, let me look it up.
Vi and ni have the same connotation, right? Without.
Neither has a lot of different meanings. So does V. Like V means to separate from. Yeah, V means to separate from, but V also means to particularize something. Like if I say jnanam means knowledge, but V, if I say vijnanam, then that's adding something to the knowledge. When we say vijnanam, usually we make that distinct. Means aparoksha jnanam, vijnanam. Jnanam is knowledge, vijnanam is aparoksha or immediate knowledge, like that. So it's hard, like these upasargas, let me see, near, have so many meanings. Edward. Nis can mean to out, forth, away. Mostly the prefix of verbs and their derivatives, or nouns not immediately connected with verbs, in which case it has the sense of out of, away from, right? Or without, destitute, free from, you know? And vi means separate, you know? So let me look at sriya. To blow, to run away, to run after, to go towards, to go against, to tap, to cross, to set in motion, to strike, to remove, to push aside, to put away, to make visible, to nourish, to foster, to lula.
What is the root?
Sri. From sritta. Sri. So say if I go like this.
That doesn't mean connection.
No, it's opposite.
Well, but then we'll make it opposite. So
Sri must bring
connection.
But
she's
saying
Sri
means to remove attack.
No, it has so many meanings. So let me go like this. Sritta.
Free from involvement.
It's It's okay, Carol.
I'd like to help.
No, the attachment is yoga.
Right, but then so, but you have nit and
it's highlighting. Say if you just take sritta, sritta that comes from sri, okay? Gone, passed away, when it was slipped or come out, going, moving, flight, escape, right?
I see. Okay.
So the one, and then so now, say if we go to the next one.
It must mean devoid then?
Free from.
Free from.
Well, let me do it with nisritta.
It's going away from the yoga. I've got the me and Trisha that are all non-yoga.
Nisritta, gone out or forth, departed.
It's the opposite.
Nisritta, to go, say departed from or gone out or departed. And now, what if I add the V to it? Gone forth or out, issued forth, sprung from, escaped. So if I say vinisritaha, how of all these meanings, how do I want to take it? So that's why you go to the commentary. And in the commentary, he says vinirgataha. Okay, so let's look at that. Gata means gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So say if I say vinirgataha. Gone out, come forth, liberated, or freed from. When you're not studying or interested in Sanskrit, then you just think about your own stuff while we're doing it.
Oh, you're not traveling.
Yeah, whatever. It's the right way to go here.
Thank you,
so, yeah. Ready? So look at this. Sarva sambandha vinirgataha, free from all attachments, sarva sambandha, and sarva yoga vinisritaha. So that's how he defines it. So if the. That's why he's providing synonyms or saying things in different ways, so useful. You have to have a commentary, really. Nana, then read with me. Nana shastra upti yogat.
Nana shastra mukti yoga.
Avagata tva va.
Avagata tva va.
Avagata tva means, that va means or. Because of being known or revealed, avagata means known. PPP. Tva, because of being known or because of the shastra is a pramana. Well, so because of being revealed by, or the shastra, because of being known. From the yogas, but by means of the yogas, which are told, ukta, in various shastras, right? So because of being revealed by the different yogas or disciplines in various shastras, that's how he takes that. Nana means various. The shastra means the different shastras. There's many different shastras. There's the Yoga Shastra, there's all of the Darshanas, the Shastras, there's the Upanishads, there's a Shastra. So through all the Shastras, that which is revealed in those yogas that are told, revealed in all of the Shastras, right, means that the teachings that are revealed in all of the Shastras. Because of being revealed, right? Because of being revealed by means of all of the yogas that are told in all of the Shastras. Yoga actually means V-yoga. You know, if we say yoga with Brahman is actually a V-yoga from all of the things that Brahman is not. Ajnana V-yoga, you know? The separation, the elimination of Ajnanam is yoga. Because when knowledge takes place, you're not uniting with something new. You're removing the ajnanam in order to recognize the self that is there. So ajnana viyoga is yoga.
Niti niti.
Mm-hmm. Not this, not this, not this, not this. And what you're left with is the ahankara as though unites with Brahman, but actually what is happening is the ajnanam is removed. So the yoga is the removal of the ajnanam that had caused you to take yourself as separate. So what causes you to take yourself as separate is the ajnana. When that is removed, you come into oneness with the self. The identity with the self, which is always there. Right? So really the yoga is brought about by the yoga, ajnana the yoga. That's the definition that we always talk about. You really see this? So sarva yoga vinishritaha. Sarva yoga vinishritaha. Then we're going to go on to the next 104, which will be the start of the next verse. Vasuhu.
Vasuhu.
There are 8 vasus. There are 8 vasus that are like exalted jivas, celestials. Let me tell you, they're usually... Let's see if I can get a list of them. And in different places, they're told, you know, they're told a little bit differently. But here's one list of them. This class of gods, whose number is usually 8 and whose chief is Indra, later Agni and Vishnu. They form one of the 9 gunas or classes enumerated. Armando, I'm teaching a class. Can I talk to you later? Okay, you're not at the at Home Depot. Okay, I'll call you later. Okay, good. This is what I want to read you. They're usually the gods for natural phenomena. And this is the list that they give of these 8. The first one is Apa, water. Then Dhruva. Dhruva is the name for the pole star. Soma, the moon. Then Anila, wind. Anala, or Pavaka, fire. Right? Pratyusha, the dawn. Prabhasa, light. But their names are variously given, like for instance, Ahan for that would be like the day. It's sometimes substituted for one. In the relationship to fire and light, they appear to belong to the Vedic rather than the Puranic mythology. Anyway, when you're reading like the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, the Vasus often come. You know, there'll be stories about them. So now, what they're saying is that the Lord Vishnu is Vasu. But there are 8 Vasus, right? And so then you have to make sense of why he is the Vasu, and there's 2 reasons for it. So the one who is Vasuhu, remember that there's 8 Vasus, but this is nominative singular, Vasuhu. He is the Vasu. So, repeat after me. Vasanti sarvabhutani atra.
Vasanti sarvabhutani atra.
Teshu ayam api.
Teshu ayam api.
Vasati iti.
Vasati iti.
Va vasuhu.
Va vasuhu.
Vasunam.
Vasunam.
Pavakaha cha asmi.
Pavakaha cha asmi.
Pavakas cha asmi. Pavakaha. Cha asmi. See? Mm-hmm. Iti upto.
Iti upto.
Itihi uptaha.
Itihi uptaha.
Va vasuhu.
Va vasuhu.
Iti upto.
Iti upto.
Iti uptaha.
Iti uptaha.
Va vasuhu.
Va vasuhu.
Going back to the first. Vasanti, verb, present tense. Third person plural. They dwell. Vasanti sarvabhutani. All beings, all bhutas dwell. Now when you say sarvabhutani, a bhuta means anything that has come into being. It's been born. So past passive participle. So the sarvabhutas can be referring to like all of the jivas in human form, or the jivas as the animals or the plants. But it can be extended to include the five elements, subtle and gross, everything that comes into being, because when Maya manifests, it manifests really first as the five subtle elements and then goes through Panchakarana to the five gross elements, and then the elementals are all the forms of all of the beings that are here. So the Sarvabhuta really means everything that comes into being. So here, you can take it like that. All beings, vasanti, dwell, atra, in him. So atra means off, often it just means here, atra. But that tra affix is locative. So from asmin, atra means asmin. So vasanti sarvabhutani atra. All beings dwell, thus, in him. Right? So teshu, in them, ayam api, he, ayam means this, but it means he, this Vishnu, also dwells. All beings dwell in him, right? And in them, all the beings, he also dwells. So all beings dwell in him, and he dwells in them. And he also dwells in them, api also, right?
How does he dwell in them?
As being the self of all beings. The all beings, the whole creation dwells in him, and he dwells in all beings as the self of all beings.
Okay.
Right? Beautiful. So, yeah. Vasuhu. Then it says, so Swamiji says the indweller, number one, the one who indwells in all beings, and then he adds all beings dwell in him. And then the one in the form of the eight vasus. So here it says, vasu nam pavakahacha asmi. He translates that, this is just a verse from, I don't remember where, but Vasunam, among the Vasus, maybe it's the Gita, I mean, I can check. Vasunam, of the Vasus, I think it's in chapter 3 of the Gita.
It says in the commentary, Sri Krishna says in the Gita.
What verse?
10:23.
What?
Chapter 10:23.
Oh, okay, I was thinking chapter 3 and chapter 4 where he goes through and lists who he is and all of these things, you know. So, look at the grammar. Vasunam, genitive plural. Pavakaha. Pavakaha is Agni, fire. Namative singular. So, asmi, I am the pavaka. I am pavaka among the vasus. I am Agni among the vasus. Mm-hmm. So, what he's doing in that chapter is if you take, like among all the luminaries, I am the sun. Among all of the mountains, I am the Himalayas. Among all of the rivers, I am the Ganga. So the river that is the most exalted. So here among all of the vasus, Agni is considered the most exalted. I am the Agni. Iti thus uktaha va vasuhu. Thus it is told, or it is told in this manner. So if Krishna says, I am the pavaka among the vasus, Krishna is Vishnu, Navatar Vishnu. Right? But somebody said something else here that I like, really like. Third paragraph. The etymological meaning is taken in this way. Vas means to dwell, right? So I say vasuhu, it's coming from the root vas. So the etymological meaning is taken in this way. The Lord is called vasu because vasanti sarvabhutani asmin. All beings dwell in him. Okay, that's from the etra. Everything, all beings, elements, and elementals exist in him. And also because ayam api teshu vasanti, he too, ayam api, he also, right, in everything, teshu, as the truth of everything, he too exists in everything as the truth of everything. This is more meaningful. That's how Swamiji takes this. This is from Shankara, right, the commentary, but it's the one that brings the most truth for Swamiji. Go to the etymological meaning of us. So he is the Vasuhu because all beings dwell in him and he dwells in.
If you lift up that second,
as the very self of all beings.
If you left out that second part that he dwells in all beings, how would that affect the meaning? Is that an additional understanding or is it?
Well, it's hard for us to separate because we always see it together, but if everything dwells in him and he dwells in everything, we're usually, when you say that part,
yeah,
as the very self of all beings or as the very being of all things. So it's kind of the satya mitya. Nothing of this creation, like this is the this pot has its being only in clay. And the clay itself is in no way separate and is the very truth of the pot. So this whole creation exists in Brahman, in the self, and Brahman is the very being of the whole creation.
So it brings up that idea.
Mm-hmm. Everybody see? Good. Let's do one more. Vasu manaha.
Vasu manaha.
Vasu shabdena.
Vasu shabdena.
Dhanavachina.
Dhanavachina.
Prashastim.
Prashastim.
Lakshate.
Lakshate.
Prashastam.
Prashastam.
Mano yasya.
Mano yasya.
Saha.
Saha.
Vasu manaha.
Vasu manaha.
Raga dvesha adi bihi. Klesha-hi, madadi-bihi, upaklesha-hi-cha, yato, na kalushitam, chittam, tataha, tan-manaha, prashastam. So here the word is vasu-manaha. So he takes the first one, vasu-shabdena. By the word vasu, shabda, instrumental singular, by the word shabda vasu, dana vachina. By the word vasu, it has the vachin meaning, it has the meaning of dhanam, wealth. And so by the word vasu, which has the meaning of wealth, prashastyam lakshate. Prashastyam, exaltedness, excellent. Prashastyam is lakshate, is indicated.
Exaltedness?
Yeah, exalted or excellence. That which is praised, most praiseworthy is prashastyam. Or excellence, or what was the other word I said? Exalted. So say we say just praiseworthy or excellence. By this word vasu, which has the meaning of dhanam, wealth, prashastyam is indicated. Excellence is indicated. So here we have, so take vasu to mean like excellence, right? Or that which is the most, the greatest or most exalted. Okay, so then he says, now we say, prashastam mano, this is taking away the tadita, taking away the long ah there and the ya. Prashastam manaha yasya. Whose mind is excellent, exalted. His mind is prashastam, most praiseworthy, excellent, most exalted. He is vasumanaha. Saha, he, vasumanaha. From manas, nominative singular. Masculine nominative singular like chandramaha. So saha, vasumanaha. Prashastam, neuter. Manas, neuter. Yesya. Whose manas is prashastam, is excellent. He, Saha, is Vasumanaha. He is called Vasumanaha. That's what's meaning here. Then he has to say, well, what does that mean for his mind to be so praiseworthy or exalted or excellent? So he goes, Raga dveshadi bihi kleshaihi. By the kleshas. Kleshas are impurities. They're stains. Things that stain the mind or sully the mind. Impurities. So by the impurities, Raga dveshadi bihi kleshaihi. By the impurities such as raga dvesha, the likes and dislikes. Okay? Raga dveshadi bihi. And the adi is all of the things that come on, come after those likes and dislikes. You know, like anger, like krodha, kinds of negative things. Then he says, so by those, and then he says, madadi bihi upakleshaihi cha, right? Now, so you've got klesha, the kleshas, that is Swami, the kleshas are the major impurities. The upakleshas are the lesser impurities that come after that, smaller group of impurities. Lesser. So how does Swamiji say? I liked it. He says, a mind that is not subject to any frailties. He's using frailties very nicely for klesha. Klesha really means, you know, impurity, so just frailties. It's kind of sweet. Raga dveshadi bihi kleshaihi, and then madadi bihi upakleshaihi na kalushum. Kalushitam is the past passive participle, kalushita. It means to mean not sullied by or polluted by. So a mind that is not polluted by likes and dislikes, raga dvesha, and then madha, kama, krodha. These are the upaklesha's. Madha is like pride, arrogance, kama, desire, and krodha, anger, and other emotions. Such a mind is excellent, and the one with such a mind is called vasumanaha. So let's go back to the Sanskrit. So if you say raga dveshadi bihi kleshaihi goes together, okay? So likes and dislikes, etc., by these kleshas, impurities such as raga and dvesha, and madadi bihi upakleshaihi, the lesser group of kleshas, such as pride, they're lesser and really have as their parent the kleshas. The upakleshas are the kleshas that come, that follow the kleshas. The upakleshas follow after the kleshas, right? They tag along. And so what tags along the kleshas? Pride, desire, anger. So that he says madadi, that adi means madha, kama, krodha. And there's probably more also. So they have different lists. But all we're given here is the madadi bihi. Swamiji expands that into, you know, madha, kama, krodha, desire and anger. So madadi bihi upakleshas, those kleshas that follow after raga dveshadi bihi. In raga and dvesha, usually there's ajnanam, the ignorance that brings about raga and dvesha. Okay? So raga dveshadi bihi, kleshahi, by these kleshas and the upakleshas that come after, such as pride, anger, pride, desires, and anger. Yattaham, yattaha, from whom, na kalushi, from which, na kalushitam chittam. The mind is na kalushitam, not polluted by or sullied by these. Since, yattaha takes sense. Yattaha because, that tasil ending. From yet, so in the climb, what yetaha na kalushitam, because na kalushitam chittam, the mind is not sullied by these, because the mind is not sullied by these, since the mind is not sullied, see all these instrumentals, by the kleshas such as raga dvesha, and the upakleshas such as the madadi bihi, since because the mind is not sullied by these, yetaha, therefore, that his mind, tan manaha, is prashastam, is excellent or praiseworthy or exalted. So see at the bottom, just to make this clear, the raga dveshadi bihi goes with kleshaihi, instrumental plural, and then madadi bihi upakleshaihi cha, right? Those are instrumentals. So yataha means because. Then you take the main sentence, na kalushitam chittam, yataha na kalushitam chittam. Yataha because the chitta is not sullied by the raga, raga dveshadi bihi kleshahi, by those kleshas, and it is not sullied by the upa kleshas that come after that, madadi bihi. Then tataha, this would be yataha, tataha, therefore, tan manaha, his mind, is prashastam, right? Is exalted, or is praiseworthy, or is has excellence. See it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, vasumanaha, the one with an excellent mind.
And what is a mind like that's not sullied or polluted?
It has a natural shanti and peace. That's the mind of the karma yogi, the mind of the jnani. The karma yogi's mind almost identical. The shanti of the karma yogi's mind is as though identical with the shanti of the jnani's mind. It's only that the jnani has no ahankara there. The aham lands on Brahman, so everything is Ishwara. But for the karma yogi's mind, remember it's a mumukshu who has the karma yoga. So for the mumukshu, for that person, even though the ahankara still has not resolved and the ahankara is on the body, mind, sense organs, everything that I relate to as Ishwara. Right? And so because of that, that karma yoga buddhi, I have shanti. Because I take everything as prasad. Everything is only about Ishwara. It's no longer about my raga dveshas, no longer about my likes and dislikes. It's about that what Swamiji says, I do what is right in front of me to the best of my ability. I do whatever is the dharma that's right in front of me to the best of my ability. And that's Ishwara Srishti. I totally live in Ishwara Srishti, and everything I do is what is asked of me to be done in this moment. And that's that Ishwara Arpana Buddhi. When that's the attitude, there really is nothing to cause agitation. So the mind enjoys, because of that attitude, a great shanti. And Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita says, it's the mind of the Karma Yogi is so close to the mind of the Nari because of that, because of the shanti. Mm-hmm. But there's still the ahankara there, yeah.
And when you illumine shanti, you don't have to be told that the mind's peaceful. It's almost evident to itself.
Whether you are a samsari or not, when the mind has shanti, it has peace. It's just the peace of the samsari is tainted with fear.
Yeah.
But the peace of the mumukshu is not tainted with fear. With the karma yogi is not tainted with fear.
Mm.
Nor is that a vijnani.
Yeah.
Because it's not with the mumuksha, the raga dvesha is not what's involved. Ishwara is involved. And another really beautiful thing about that is when your primary relationship is with Ishwara, there's really no fear of death. Because the relationship between the transmigrating jiva, from one level for the jnani, Ishwara is me. There is, I am Ishwara. But for the mumukshu, for whom this knowledge is maturing, right? I as a jiva am related to Ishwara, and I will never not be related to Ishwara. I don't have to be on this loka to be related to Ishwara.
Mm.
There's no loss. There can be no loss in my relationship to Ishwara, because wherever I am, I will be there with Ishwara. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's a beautiful thing. That's the karma yogi. That's karma yoga. That karma yoga buddhi. That will resolve, you know, as the raga dveshas lift and all of the unconscious material. So the as the vairagya matures, and the vairagya is where on an emotional level, I do not need this to be happy. I don't need this or this or this. We have vairagya toward 99% of things in the universe. Because you don't even know they're there. And even toward, look at all of the things that you're related to in the world, you have perfect vairagya. Their presence or absence is not a non-issue for you. They can be here and that's fine. They cannot be here and that's fine. It's just a small handful of things. Very small handful of things.
Don't mess with those.
Yeah, but that vairagya is not there. That's where... That's the yoga, you know. That's the sarva yoga. But that sarva yoga is just these few little things, handful of things. But that's what this guest captured us as jivas.
Well, that sounds easy. It's just a few of them.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It is easy. It is easy once you have knowledge. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that for...
Sounds good.
Om Swastika Javya Paripalayantam Nyayena margena mahi mahishah. Ko brahmane vyashivamastu nityam. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Kale varshatu parajanyaha. Prithivi sasya shalini. Desho yam shobarahitaha. Brahmana santu nirbhayaha. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha. Sarve santu niramayaha. Sarve bhadrani pashyantu. Ma kaschit dukkha bhavet. Asato ma sagamaya. Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya. Mrityorma amritam gamaya. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate. Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.